I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Snowmageddon, it's coming. Hide, run, do it now. Matt, crank it up, Joe, crank it up. It's all over, you might as well have a dance party.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
6-12, 6-10 inches of snow expected tonight, starting sometime around 6. Tim will talk to us about it in detail in about 20, 25 minutes, something like that. So we have to make plans because we're essential personnel. So let's have a staff meeting right now.
Okay.
Vanderbilt, what's your plan for tomorrow morning?
Just drive as slow as possible and get here. Leave early.
Well, what time do you normally leave?
About 3:50.
Okay, you're going to have to leave by midnight to get in tomorrow.
It's not going to happen.
It's going to start snowing at 6 p.m.
How about you pick me up? You're on my way.
I'm not sure I'm coming in.
Really?
By midnight, there'll already be 6 inches of snow on the ground.
Yep. I know. Those plows better be working all night. That's all I have to say.
Well, I think they will, but I mean, you're putting an awful lot of pressure on the poor plow people.
I know
the plow people. The plow people have a lot of pressure. Well, the pressure on the plow people is unfair.
Is there time to make money? So get out there. Come on.
All right, so your plan is you're going to make it in. What was the last major storm winter-wise that you've trekked in? Been a while, hasn't it?
I don't know. Remember that big blizzard we had a couple years ago? When was that
The one on Lakeshore Drive?
Yeah. I was in a hotel
that night. 2011.
I was in a hotel,
9 years ago.
Oh, yeah. that far back?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that 2011?
2011, yep.
Yeah.
Groundhog's Day.
7 years.
Okay, seven years, people. Yeah.
All right, so you're saying you're gonna drive.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, what's your plan?
Fly?
My plan, Steve, I'm going
to
actually be sleeping under Ryan Burrow's desk, and I'm just going to use his sleeping bag. And
I think that's a good plan.
Yeah.
He's also
burrow.
Got a suitcase
he's
there
a,
full of stuff, too.
He's got a bag there, yeah.
I think that's a good plan. Yep. You sleep on the newsroom floor.
That's what I'm going to do.
And try not to think about what's happened on that floor over the last 30 years.
I think he has a MyPillow in his go bag as well. So
we can get you one from the sales department. Andre, what are you going to do? You're only a couple miles from
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'll leave.
Snowshoe. I would suggest you snowshoe. Do you have snowshoes?
No, but I have cool
I do.
Boots.
You can borrow mine.
I have
yeah,
two
but
pairs
you have to
cool
go to your
boots.
House to get them.
Oh, yeah.
How about snowmobile?
I have two pairs of cool boots, and I was going to say...
What cool boots? It's not about your look. It's about living to get over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, but I want cool boots. If I'm going to be wearing them in the snow, you don't want to bring in, like, you know, ugly rubber black...
So is this how the female brain works? Boots. You think in the middle of a blizzard
yeah.
you're being judged?
My boots are so... I got a new pair of boots. They're gray, and they're pink, and they're black, and they're very cute.
God, it's hard to be a girl.
They got a little fur on the top. Nice. But instead of leaving... I'm going to allow 5 extra minutes.
Oh, I'm not sure that that's...
You should allow 5 extra minutes to get to your car.
That's right.
All right, Sandberg, what's your plan?
Well, I could come and I told my husband I might sleep at my sister's. She lives down the street from here.
Okay.
Tonight, I'm going to assess that because I do not like doing sleepovers.
Yeah.
But
you can get there late, though.
She lives at Water Tower Place?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, which
like
store?
Across the street. but my plan, my bigger fear is getting stuck here after work on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think...
No, that's not going to happen.
That's another good point.
It's actually a bigger threat, I think.
That's the bigger threat, yes.
Oh, I don't think so.
So
no,
I want to park... I'm going to park... We park in an open lot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Open air lot, you know, where we can get snowed on. So I'm going to park in a different garage... So I can make sure I can leave.
That's a great idea.
Because
that's a wonderful
I
idea.
Do
but
not,
you drive a vehicle that is fine in the snow.
Yeah, but I don't want to go downstairs to our lot and have my car covered and have to deal like snow. I'm. Parking.
Oh, you don't want to deal with uncovering the car.
Yeah, so Tim,
or
Tim,
not being able to get out because someone else
get out.
Just have Dave do
it's
it
fine.
For you. He
well,
loves
I was
going to
say
that.
Bill Leff is very good about that when it snows a lot. Bill Leff and hopefully he's hearing this now. And
what Bill Leff for what?
Bill Leff cleared off my car last year.
No, that was me. Just, that was
yeah, that was Dave.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
Dave always does that.
Dave, what's your plan tomorrow? Dave may not be here. Here's why. There's a Northwestern game Saturday.
Right.
And you guys may leave today.
Well, I don't know. I think
that's possible.
I have not heard that.
If I was flying the Northwest plane, I would leave today at noon.
But I mean, kids have classes. They've got practice here. They got other stuff to do.
Maybe no, there's no plane.
What do you need? Some Groupon coupons for the hotel extra night?
A travel zoo. No.
But see, that's the thing, because I don't know if we'll be.
Where are you guys going? Where's the game?
Maryland. So we fly to Baltimore.
We're all right. So to, get you a day's in of Baltimore right at the airport.
I don't think that's going to work.
Do you notice, too, he's flying where the storm is going, northeast? You're just like,
no,
like
the,
flying
the storm's
with it.
Actually going more north. So it's not going to hit the mid-Atlantic states. It's going to track
all right, so let's say the flight doesn't go today and you're still coming in tomorrow. What's your plan?
My plan is to leave really, really early and drive really, really slow and get here. My problem then, Steve, is then I have to go to join the team in Evanston to go to the airport.
Hey, nobody's forcing you to do these games that you've done for 30 years.
That's true.
Joe,
that's
what's your plan? What are you going to do?
I actually have I think it's called a closet that's right down the hallway from promotions that I sleep in.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yep.
Because I was going to offer you Sandberg's sister's house. Everybody stays at Sandberg's sister's place.
Can I stay there, too?
Happy birthday. No, you're close enough.
Oh, darn. Oh, wait, Steve.
Well, yes,
what about
Steve.
You? What's your plan?
What's your big plan?
We're out of time.
Snowmobile?
No, I've got the 2018 Chevy Tahoe.
White lightning.
So it's not going to be a problem. Matter of fact, 6 to 10 inches. You know what we call that? Flurries.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's not a blizzard.
Right.
It's not really a
it's
blizzard.
It's just going to be a lot of snow.
You know, 12 inches? Roe invited the entire afternoon show to stay at his place, which apparently is right nearby.
Oh, yeah. Do
really?
You guys? I'm sorry. Do you guys all want to stay by me? No? Good.
A top 6 at 6 time right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, 10 inches of snow or more possibly now tonight. I love this sentence from the National Weather Service. Difficult travel predicted. Really? Well, you're out on a limb on that one, aren't you? Next. 10 former students and employees at Northwestern University's Journalism School are publicly accusing a prominent professor of persistent harassment, misconduct, and bullying over the past decade. This is in the Medill School of Journalism, I believe.
Yeah, this is Northwestern professor Alec Klein who is facing these accusations.
And is he
12 of them.
Has he responded?
He's not yet.
Okay. 12 seems like a lot. You know, one could make it up. So, by the way, that doesn't happen that often. One could make it up. Two could be in some sort of conspiracy. This is like when people go, oh, the Cosby thing. Everybody's working together. I would always say when there's a group of people, to what end?
I just want to say, too, he did release a statement categorically denying the allegations, claiming that many involved disgruntled former employees who had been on a corrective action plan for poor work performance several years ago. But the Office of the Dean, Bradley Hamm, says that this is Medill's Me Too movement and Alec Klein's time is up.
It seems fair because it's there's 12. Next. Nancy Pelosi did an 8-hour talk marathon. You can't have a filibuster per se in the House. Like you can do in the Senate, but there is leader time. It's different than executive time. It's leader time. And leader time is when the leader of the two parties can choose to speak at any length. And she talked for 8 hours yesterday.
How about that?
Did she say anything? Like, you remember when Rand Paul did it and he read Green Eggs and Ham and all that? Did she have any of those moments?
No, but she did the whole Not that I have heard,
she
because
read
I didn't
the
watch
DC
all eight.
Phone book. Not that there's one that exists anymore.
But she did all 8 hours wearing black stiletto heels, like high heels. So that had to have been a little uncomfortable to stand there.
It kills my shins.
And clutched a Kleenex.
Would it be my shins or my calves? What would heels hurt?
Both.
Okay,
maybe your ankles.
That's why I don't wear them. Tony Preckwinkle has decided to back J.B. Pritzker a day after he apologized for remarks on African American politicians. Okay. Well, you live with who you support, I suppose. Next. Loser Aaron Hamlin, I should say, has been chosen as a U.S. flag bearer for the opening ceremonies. She's 31, four-time Olympian. Didn't you do the luge?
I did the luge, yeah. I went
Don't
to
we
like
have
a
video
luge
of you doing the luge?
There is some video.
Let's post a video of Andrea screaming down the luge track.
I screamed the first time, but I made it the second time. It was a makeshift luge because it was in the summer in Lombard.
What do you mean a makeshift luge?
It wasn't actually
like
snow.
Made of popsicle sticks or
no,
what?
No, it was actually like just a hill with cement, and then they put wheels on the sled. So
well,
if we couldn't
like that
do
would
it
make
snow.
It go faster.
It did. It was very scary. You crashed into hay bales.
Did you wear a onesie thing?
No, I just wore jeans and I think a top.
Oh.
I think that's the
new
luge outfit this year. Jeans.
I didn't
and a top.
Want to go, but it's surprisingly so difficult. You have to control everything with your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no hand movement, which is I think
I drive no hands.
Oh yeah, so in your White Lightning.
Well, it's actually the Chevy Tahoe.
Yeah.
White Lightning.
Hey, give him an extra buzz for the first one. Listen, Erin Hamlin took the singles bronze medal at Sochi in 2014. She's considered one of the favorites this time around. She's a native of upstate New York and makes her home in Lake Placid and said she plans to retire after this Olympics and move on with the rest of her life. Good luck to her. There's also a Mike Pence story surrounding the Olympics and an openly gay athlete who says, I'll talk to the vice president after because of Pence's stand back in 2000. On gay conversion therapy.
Right.
And how, as a congressman, he was supporting funding programs that at least seem to be gay conversion therapy. There's a lot of denials going on. But at this point, Pence and that athlete will not be meeting until after the games, which, by the way, seems legitimate anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Guys can focus on his performance.
Absolutely. Did you hear, by the way, this is the largest team that the United States has ever sent to the Winter Games?
No, I did none of that.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And I think there's another athlete, possibly two other athletes who have come out. He was the first openly gay athlete, but I know I think one or two other American athletes have come out as well. Oh. Again, come on. It's 2018.
No kidding.
Got to start having labels for this, you know?
Come on.
Every morning I come in, I announce I'm heterosexual. I mean, who cares? Next. Rob Porter, the White House staff secretary. By the way, staff secretary is sort of a misnomer. A staff secretary is a crucial position to any president. Sits right outside the Oval Office, clears all documents that the president sees, and is an advisor, and it's a very important position. White House staff secretary helped draft last week's State of the Union address as well, announced his immediate resignation after two former wives and an ex-girlfriend accused him of punching him. One of the ex-wives produced a picture of a black eye from one of the incidents. Another told a story of having to call the police because he had broken the door on her front door window, broken the window on the front door, trying to get into her house and screaming at her. And in another incident on a honeymoon, one of the ex-wives said he dragged her from the shower naked and threatened to kill her. This kind of cowardice can't be tolerated ever. But this, to me, is not a Trump thing. Because Trump doesn't hire everybody. The president doesn't have time to sit down with that. This is not his fault at all. It is John Kelly's fault. And it is the fault of the rest of the staff. In addition to the fact that Hope Hicks is supposedly in a relationship with this guy now. And just by way of the basic nature of trying to protect a young woman in that circumstance, did she know?
Right.
Well, the girlfriend came forward when she heard Hope Hicks was having this relationship and said, hey, Hope Hicks ought to know this guy's a puncher.
Mm-hmm.
So any coward who hits a woman deserves everything they get. There is no reason for this guy to retire immediately and resign immediately unless he's guilty as charged. He has denied those charges. If you are innocent, I'm not sure why he didn't stay and fight. Meanwhile, the chief of staff said, didn't know anything about it. He's a terrific guy. The press spokesman, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, said he's really doing his job well. Well, guess what? The question is not about his job performance. The question is he a puncher?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is he appears to be. So for that reason, he had to go. Kelly, it was determined later in the day, not only knew about this, he knew about it as recently or as long back, how long ago back as last fall.
Right.
He's known about it for months.
And still called him a man of true integrity and honor?
Yeah. Kelly's had a very bad week, and he may not be the guy we thought he was. It has nothing to do with his military service and has everything to do with his character as a private citizen. It's 6:25.
Another night with nothing to do. We can't get stuck at home again.
Let's jump right to Nick here for headlines, show business headlines, and then we'll get to the other headlines. Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
All right. Let's jump right in. What do you got for me?
The 1517 to Paris is the new Clint Eastwood directed movie.
And the actual people who were in this incident, Star?
The three soldiers who basically saved the lives of 500 passengers on board a train that was about to be the victim of a terrorist attack in 2015. They're in the movie. Three guys are in the movie. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, I thought you had. All right. So my question, obviously, is good for them. Good for Clint Eastwood for doing this. But if they were a distraction to the story, that would be troubling. Apparently, they're not.
No, here's the thing. I've seen them touring around, the three guys and Clint, and evidently the recreation of what actually happened on the train is like minute for minute absolutely accurate, because you have those three guys there, and not only that, about 30 of the actual passengers are in the movie, that were the people that were actually on the train.
That's pretty
cool. In the movie, and Clint was funny because they were on Jimmy Kimmel, and one of the guys. Kimmel asked the three guys, "Are you guys going to do more acting?" And one of the guys said, "I just got back from an audition." And then he asked Clint Eastwood. He said, "Clint, do you think you're going to put these guys in any of your other movies?" And he went, "No way."
Clint Eastwood, by the way, who was returning to acting at age 86 in his next movie, which is
amazing, incredible.
What about 50 Shades Freed? Are we done with this yet?
Yeah. Hello.
So we are done.
Yeah, we're done. Nick's funny.
So, did you see the other two?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I only saw the first one.
I saw the second one, unfortunately, and it was probably an hour and a half I'll never get back of my life.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about the first one.
So. Nick, I swear to God.
Honestly, just get yourself some fur handcuffs and spend some time with your, with a friend.
it wasn't even that much of that in there.
And then Peter Rabbit?
Peter Rabbit is the new animated, well, it's partially animated movie, based on, of course, the classic character. It's voiced by James Corden. Rose Byrne is in it. And it's, it's a kid's movie about Peter Rabbit, and it looks terrible.
All right, enough about other people. Let's talk about you. I'm really, really disappointed. One of my favorite movies is going to be in Nick's Movie Club, and I'm going to be off for a week in Florida.
Come on, seriously?
I am tempted to not go to Florida and just stay here to see the movie.
Oh, I was so hoping that. I absolutely thought this is going to be the one that's going to get
absolutely. Seen. No question about it. I would have stayed up all night for this one. On Tuesday, March 6th, the AMC Rosemont 18, you are showing?
One of the greatest comedies of all time, Albert Brooks is Lost in America.
Tremendous.
Maybe we should go.
Fantastic
film.
Maybe
the rest of us will go.
Have you ever seen it?
It is.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that was your favorite
movie, this show, it's not my all-time favorite, but it's certainly top 10. Anybody on this show not seen Lost in America? Well, Joe, you probably haven't. You're too young. Has anybody not seen it? Dave, have you seen it?
I've seen it many times.
Okay.
Great movie.
Grzanich, have you seen it?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Vanderbilt?
I think I only saw half of it.
What?
I don't know. It doesn't do much for me.
When you're caught in the blizzard because you didn't listen to me and come in or stay overnight tonight, see if you have can download it and just stream it on Netflix or something.
Didn't he have a big fur coat in that movie something?
No.
What?
There's no big fur coat. There's no big fur coat in that movie.
It's hilarious, though. Very funny.
Like a king coat?
If your
like
memory of this movie is a big fur coat, you didn't see the movie.
I guess I didn't see it, though.
Joe, have you seen it?
Who's in it?
Oh, no.
He's young, though. We can toss him a bone. Albert Brooks.
It's tremendous. All right, how do we get tickets?
You go to amctheaters.com, and my ticket prices for my movie events have dropped. So they're gonna go down a little bit. But, yeah, so it's on Tuesday, March 6th, and it truly is. I mean, it's just genius. And I will try not to say every line of dialogue along with, because I've seen this movie about 50 million times.
I swear to you, if I didn't have tickets already booked to be off for a couple of days, I wouldn't book the tickets.
That's how good this movie is. Seriously, that's how good
Captain
America is. It's just legendary.
So I don't know what we're doing on vacation, but that Tuesday night, I'm just going to just tell everyone to leave me alone, and I'm just going to watch it in my room and cry.
You can Skype. You can FaceTime.
We'll be together spiritually, Steve. Like, you can be watching it in Florida, and all of us will be watching it in Rosemont.
There you go. It works. All right, buddy. Thank you.
I have seen it. Sorry, I just looked.
No, you haven't.
I was thinking of Made It.
You haven't seen it. If it took you that long to Google it and then see it and go, I have just
seen it. It is funny.
Hold on. You thought it was Made in America with Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson?
Well, Kind of.
That's what you thought it was?
For a second.
Oh, no.
But they didn't have a fur coat.
I would really show that movie at my movie club.
Here's what I'm going to do, Nick. I'm going to give you Mary's cell phone. I want you to call her every 15 minutes for the next 2 days.
I thought it was Made in Manhattan with Jennifer Lopez.
Again, okay, Joe's young. No. See, Joe's young. Again, Joe is young.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
That's Nick DiGilio. Follow him on Facebook and all over social media and listen to him 2 to 5 a.m. And
back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You should have seen the look on Mrs. Carlson's face when he said, "It's a keeper." Oh, cold enough for you?
Shut up, fat ass.
Earned my Oscar-winning performance in Grumpy Old Men, the first one, the funny one. That's the only one you really need.
Oscar clip.
Tim McGill joins us now. He's a busy man today.
Yeah.
Because it's coming.
Buy the bread and milk.
All right, so what time is it going to start snowing?
Probably between 5, 6 o'clock west and southwest of the city.
How far west, how far south?
I'm talking like out towards maybe Aurora, DeKalb, Rochelle area, and then it'll hit the city itself probably between around 8 or 9 o'clock, it looks like. Now, that's been
moved. That's a slow-moving storm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the problem. It's a long-duration event, so once it starts, anywhere between 6 o'clock this evening, 10 o'clock tonight, depending on where you're at, more like 9 o'clock, it's going to last all the way through tonight, all the way through most of tomorrow afternoon. So even with snowfall amounts, a half inch at times, maybe up to an inch at times, we're going to see several inches. We could see locally up to a foot in spots in a narrow little strip here, it looks like. Just exactly where it's going to set up, that's the tough call right now. Right now, it looks like somewhere along I-80, maybe just north of there. The models are shifting a little further south down towards Kankakee, where you don't even have a winter weather advisory yet. And that'll probably change before the day's over with. But most of us between around 6 to 10 inches, it looks like, in total.
So rush hour is going to be a little more than a challenge, obviously, because it's going to start. So you should leave work early. You should leave work now.
Yeah, you shouldn't have gone in.
Oh, well, that's probably a better way to go.
No, yeah, it'll impact maybe the tail end of it in the city itself. In the far western suburbs, you might see it towards 6 o'clock. So I think most of the rush hour hopefully be over with by then. But you might want to be cautious, leave a little early. But
any chance the storm will wobble and hit us in a smaller way, or is it too late for that?
You know, it could, but the models are starting to come into more and more alignment. Mm. The problem with the system is, Steve, there's such a sharp gradient from where you're going to see the heavy snow to barely anything at all, that a little shift in this narrow band, and relatively speaking, it's about 100 miles wide, this band of heavy snow, it's going to target us. A little shift can mean the difference between, you know, several inches and barely anything at all. So that has me concerned. But right now, it looks pretty reasonable that we're going to get about at least 6 to 10 inches across here.
And when would it be locked in? Noonish?
Will we get our next actual model run, our next good one, around 5 or 6 o'clock this evening?
Oh, not till then.
Yeah.
Well, what do we need to do? Get better models?
Yes. Or European models.
And then you said Aurora West. When will it start snowing south?
Probably.
You said 6-ish, but where?
Southwest. I'm talking Morris, Aurora area. And then it looks like it'll hit. It'll kind of come in from west to east. So it's going to hit the western suburbs first and the city later. That
Got
makes
it.
Sense.
Yeah. Are you taking follow-up questions? Andre has a follow-up.
I have a weather geek question, Tim. Yeah. Okay, so when we first started talking, a few days ago, you said we were saying 5 to 9, now 10, now 12. And then I'm hearing you guys say, how do you know? How would you get the number 12 as opposed to, say, 5?
Well, you have an array of models you look at, and basically that's what it comes down to. We're looking at about 4 or 5 right now, and pretty much in general, they're all within reason, they're saying about 6 to 10. There are a couple that are saying up to 14.
Wow.
There are a couple that are saying, you know, 4 or 5. The European model is the one that's showing the less amount of
snow. We call that the Euro.
The Euro, exactly.
The Euro, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Look at you. But a model we call the NAM model, N-A-M, North American model.
Sure.
That one is a little older, but that model is the one that's more robust. It's showing about 14 inches. So you have to kind of rule out the outliers and go with the consensus, and that seems to be 6 to 10 inches.
Are we pre-canceling flights at O'Hare and Midway yet?
We are, yes.
Yep.
Okay. I have a follow-up. Can I ask a follow-up?
Let me ask Tim. Tim, are you having a follow-up? You have another follow-up?
No. This is just with regard to the airport. We did get confirmation that they are giving out vouchers, many of the airlines, if not all. So call ahead. They're giving out waivers in anticipation of the cancellation and delays.
So cancel before you leave your house.
Delta, American, and United for sure are. But again, many of the others probably will be doing the same thing. Just call
Dave's on a charter. There's not a chance he's going to get to Baltimore.
Yeah. I don't know. Tim, noon tomorrow, noon 10. take off tomorrow.
Not a chance.
Does not look good.
Not a chance.
Put it that way.
Not a chance. Steve?
Is there a chance, Tim, for thunder snow?
I don't know if we have a strong enough lift with this system. I wouldn't rule it out. I don't see that happening.
Is this snow angel snow, or is it more snowball snow?
It'll be more of a fluffy, lighter snow. We're in the colder air with this system.
Yeah. Okay, well, that'd be snow angel.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't be able to see it long.
But that's good. It's not the heart attack
snow. It's not the heart attack snow,
yeah,
right.
It doesn't look like
it. Well, that's important, too. What about writing your name in the snow? It seems like this is not the best for that.
With what? What are you talking about?
I think you know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
All right, so again, this will start between 5 and 6, southwest.
Yeah, it'll, like Aurora, St. Charles, Elgin area, and then the city, I'm going to say 8 or 9-ish,
okay.
Looks like.
And it's going to snow quarter inch, half inch an hour, all night and all day tomorrow.
Yeah, and at times up to an inch an hour.
It's a lot of snow.
Yeah, that is a lot of snow.
I can't wait.
Whoa.
What are you going to do? You staying downtown, Tim?
I actually am. I've got a daughter who lives downtown, and I said, Dad, staying with you tonight, so I'll buy pizza and we'll have
Can we stay with you?
Yeah.
It's a very small apartment, but we'll see. We could probably squeeze you in.
Probably call you later when you don't answer.
Exactly.
All right. We need to check with you later. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Thanks, Tim.
That's Tim McGill. He does a great job. Great job.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
6:56 now. Make America vote again. We're trying to get you to not throw out those normal excuses people do, especially when it comes to the primary. The typical primary vote count by percentage. Let me ask Pat Brady about this. Is it 15 to 20%, 20 to 25? What is it?
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. For the, I think for the Republicans, it's like 800,000 or 900,000. Democrats or more. So not very high. And in a state of 12.8 million.
And the reason that's a problem is that if only that number vote, it's the people who are most involved who vote, and they are not the most moderate of mindset, either too far left or too far right. And that's why the candidates behave the way they do. And then you have a limited determination or selection, I should say, of who actually gets on the general ballot. And then you complain because you have nobody to choose from. The primary is very important for those reasons.
Exactly. You got to get out and vote. You got to participate. And I think Eric said it best last week. If you don't participate, you can't complain.
I heard somebody say yesterday, I said, are you going to vote? And this is a dear friend of mine. And she said, no, I don't. She said, I'll vote in the general. I don't like to vote in the primaries because I have to declare. She said, will that ever go away? And
that's what we were talking about last week. There was legislation a couple years ago about making it an open primary.
Right.
Where you could go bounce back and forth with which other states have. I think that's a great idea to increase participation. Make it easier, too, as we
I completely agree. It should just be put all the candidates out there and vote.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have an answer to this off the top of your head. If not, give it some thought. We can talk about it next hour. Carrie Lester is going to join us in studio next hour. We love Carrie, Associated Press and Daily Herald for many, many years. She's written a book that I think a lot of people are going to be interested in. Here's the question. A race that really is important for turnout, and it could be a race that you're thinking about for Republicans, a statewide race that if a big turnout shows up, it could swing it. Or for Democrats, either one. But give that some thought, unless you know one off the top of your head.
What's important? Or would be
Turnout it could absolutely make the difference. In other words, not a settled race, but a race that a big turnout would actually make the race competitive.
Either the two governors' races.
Or Attorney General, too, maybe?
Yeah, at least on the Republican side, it'll be Erica Harold, but the Attorney General side for the Democrats. Interesting to watch, and Eric always talks about this, who's motivated. I saw some polls in the last week that the Democrats are super motivated to vote. But remember, Hillary Clinton almost lost Illinois. So the progressives in the state, the Bernie Sanders crew, very motivated, which I think bodes well for a guy like Dan Biss or Chris Kennedy, who are the more progressive side of the Democratic Party.
What about state reps? Anybody jump?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, Jim Durkin's got a race, I think, but I think he's up 40, 45 points. But all those races, and that's, again, on the getting out to vote, but we also need to fix how we draw the districts.
That was my question to you. Do you foresee more women voting now with Me Too and millennials in this primary?
I hope so. I've read some analysis since the races where they said there was big female turnout and big millennial turnout. Turned out it wasn't that. The people that are really truly turning out right now are people that call themselves independents.
Pat will stick around, and Eric Adelson will join us, and Carrie Lester will be here, and we got a lot to talk about. A minute before 7, news next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Is this a Punchki Day? We got like 50 boxes of Punchkis out there.
Punchki Day. Central Continental Bakery sending over boxes of Punchkis for us today.
Okay.
Thank you to them.
Locale. Eric Edelstein joins us. Eric, how are you? Try me again.
Come on, man.
Dude, I'm flying the first day. You're lucky to get on. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course, always. And your company?
AL Media.
Pat Brady, I know Supercuts is one of your companies, but what's the other one?
You don't like the hairdo this morning, huh, Steve?
You know, man, I'm just jealous.
I know. Yes. Next Generation Strategies, thank you.
And we welcome an old friend, Carrie Lester, who's not old like we are, but she is here to talk about her book, which we'll get to in a second, but it's nice to see you.
It's nice to be back, Steve.
Yeah, great to have you on. And congratulations, just got married.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't remember getting the invitation. It must have gotten lost in the mail. I hope all things are good, though.
Thank you, they are.
Did you honeymoon?
Yeah, briefly in Morocco.
Morocco.
Yeah. Oh, I've been there. Isn't it awesome?
It was really neat.
Did you drive? Exotic.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just a quick trip around the bend.
Actually, I've only been to Tangiers, but isn't it crazy? You go to take a picture, and they go, no, don't take a picture.
Hey, quick raise of hands if you have no idea what Carrie and Andre are talking about.
Okay. So, Carrie.
You guys want to be alone?
Great. A completely different way of life out there.
All right. In the history of bad transitions, this may be right up there, but before we get to your book, the big topic overnight, which is one of the big topics today because it's a law apparently now in 2018, you have to have a new scandal a day, is this guy named Rob Porter, who served as White House Secretary, a desk right outside the president's office, clears all documents to go in, involved in scheduling, essentially the right hand of the chief of staff and someone who's very important to the operation. He is accused of punching both of his ex-wives and an ex-girlfriend. He is currently allegedly involved in a relationship with Hope Hicks, who helped craft a no-he-didn't sort of message that the chief of staff, John Kelly, gave out. John Kelly said he's totally shocked by this. He's a swell guy, the highest level of honesty and integrity. This morning we find out that Kelly and the surrounding staff knew about these allegations months ago. Mm-hmm. So why no one in this White House can tell the truth remains to be a big question. But just so everybody's clear on this is not a Trump thing. This is a staff thing. And the staff are supposed to be the people that steady the ship, especially Kelly. And he has had a particularly bad week with his comments about DACA kids being lazy. And now this. So what do we make of this, Pat?
Some people
Nothing
good. Some people need to go over this and hitting. There's actually one of the women that was struck put a picture out of the damage he did to her eye. So if people lied about it, they need to go.
You know, and obviously Carrie can speak to this because of her book. I'm the last person to throw a life preserver to the Trump White House, but unfortunately, this is not a situation unique to that dysfunctional bunch, where you have higher ups covering up for behavior that they were aware of that gets brushed under the rug and is continued to be allowed. And one of
it held up his confirm. It held up his. It held it HR up, process. They
but,
knew about.
But
it.
They knew about.
Everybody
it.
Knew about it. The yeah. confirmation for his security clearance was held up. Everybody knew about it.
But unfortunately, that's systemic, right? I mean, it's not something unique to those guys.
Absolutely. And Pat, you probably know the internal dynamic better than any of us. Do you talk to Lindsay Walters much? Former spokeswoman for Governor Rauner, and now she's in the communication staff in the White House, pretty high up.
No, I'm not exactly welcome in the Trump White House these days, but. I did talk to the folks, the previous people there, and Reince, those people, but so they wouldn't tell me anything like that anyway. But it's all bad. It's somebody needs to be held accountable.
Well, there are certain things in life, and certainly in politics, that are gray. This isn't one of them. Yeah. It's black and white. You don't hit girls. You learn it when you're a little kid. You need to know it when you're a grown up. And anybody that does this is a coward.
And you know, to add to that too, what's most maddening is that even if obviously it has to go through due process and whatnot, but the allegations are out there, to immediately start defending this and saying, well, his work ethic is very good.
Nothing to do with
he showed up for work. Who cares?
Right.
I mean, that's awful.
There's a lot of people who do a really good job and then go home and beat up their wives and kids. This guy is problematic. And frankly, one of the things he said as an excuse is outrageous. Where he goes, hey, I took that picture and it's way overblown. So what? You punched her? You took a picture?
Said that?
Right.
That was part of his explanation.
He's a big guy, too.
Yeah.
So, and
well,
both,
not that big, because he wouldn't come in here and see you or me or Eric.
I meant physically. No, yes. That's a warp. I tell my girl.
But the allegations are with both ex-wives. Is that
Yeah.
Correct?
It's not. If you do it once, you're going to do it again.
And right. a girlfriend.
Exactly.
Yeah. And are the ex-wives talking?
Yes.
Yes.
They're the ones that broke it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I will readily admit this is a short fuse with me because I grew up in a house where this went on. But anybody mm-hmm. that does this,
right.
you're all in the same basket of deplorables.
Mm-hmm.
And you truly are. You got to get help. And if right. you're doing it now, get help before you get arrested or before you hurt in a way that you can't take it back.
And don't make excuses for him either. I know it was either the first. I think
just
it was the first wife who said, well, he had a temper. You know, he said he did have a temper.
Well, that's
Come
okay
on.
Then.
No, exactly. Right, Carrie?
Well, that's part of the problem. I mean, too many women go, oh, because of the emotional abuse that goes with us, too many women go, oh, I shouldn't have made him angry.
Right.
It has nothing to do with this.
Or he'll change.
Men don't get to hit women.
Right.
Again, it's not gray. There's nothing quite as black and white as this.
Absolutely.
Carrie Lesher's book's called No, My Place, Reflections on Sexual Harassment in Illinois Government and Politics. We didn't know how bad this is. But from all your time in Springfield, how bad is it?
It's a frat house. And I think that people feel that there are no ramifications and things aren't going to get reported. And so they just... continue to behave in a certain way. I had one state lawmaker, Teresa Ma. She's a young state rep from Chicago, and she says that some men believe it's a sexual playground, and I think that's fairly succinct.
But part of the problem is there's no HR department, right?
No. State Representative Sarah Feigenholz points that out, that you know there are just not these adequate reporting mechanisms in place, and so this pattern of behavior perpetuates, and oftentimes women don't know how to speak up or where to speak up.
I would also probably add this, too, that the laws in Illinois, and probably nationally, need to be changed as well. I covered a story. There was a man who was reported for domestic abuse, domestic violence, 30 times, not one conviction stuck, not one. Right. And also, when you go to domestic violence court, you have to stand in court with your accuser. You know, you wait in the hallway as you walk in together. There should be some sort of a law saying either separate rooms or you can do it with protection, whatnot. But to stand side by side with your accuser is terrifying.
And
for
the
so
level
many women.
Of fear. Attorney General Lisa Madigan is in this book, and I didn't know until I interviewed her for this that she was stalked. She had a guy that would call her and leave her 30, 40, 50 voicemail messages a day, and he would follow her at the Capitol mm-hmm. around her committee meetings. And she said, you know, on a crowded day, it was one thing, but on a Monday when nobody's down there, I really got scared if I was, you know, going back to my office alone that something.
And she doesn't travel with security, does she?
I mean, this was when she was a young state senator, so okay. I don't think she had that at that point. But I mean, it's just the fact that this touches all women and some right. in very dramatic ways.
And that's why the sexual harassment thing dovetails with the domestic violence thing, because some of this behavior is, in fact, criminal. It's not just creeps. It
right,
falls
right. And
criminal.
I think it starts with a lack of respect, but then, you know, escalates up and up and up.
All right. So there was supposed to be an IG position that was filled in Springfield. Has there been?
No.
Inspector General, by the way.
No, there hasn't been. There has been one filled now, but it went for years without being filled. And there were, you know, nearly three dozen complaints that went unaddressed. And so... you know, a lot of people like State Senator Kara McConaughey are pushing for an independent inspector general. So.
Yeah, well, that would be different because if somebody is still on the wrong team being someone who will continue to hide the true stories of this, then why would women be encouraged to, you know, internally or externally to report what's going on?
Right, right.
All right. The fine line here. How much of this frat boy behavior is party behavior where women are actively involved as opposed to this sort of horrible things that you put in the book?
I think there's some of that, but I would encourage you to read Kim Fox's chapter, mm-hmm. Cook County State's Attorney, and she talks about the fact that there is this fear in that office that benign behavior is going to be misconstrued. And she says, but, you know, the problem is that people don't realize that that behavior is not benign. And so, you know, she talks about everything from having a judge when she was 7 months pregnant call and leave her a voicemail message telling her how sexy she was, to having a supervisor kind of thrust at her at an elevator. All these horror stories, and she felt that when she got into a supervisory position, because this was the way it was just utterly impossible to change that culture.
The fact that you got all these women to speak on the record and to tell their stories is really amazing. Were they at first reluctant to do that?
Well, I got 17 to speak on the record, Steve, but there were many more that were afraid to. And so, I got as many as I could. And there were, if you notice in the book, you can kind of read between the lines and figure out who some of these perpetrators are. But there are no names named. And that was a level of safety that these women wanted. You know, certainly had they given me names, I would have printed them, but they were afraid of retaliation. That's a really real and persistent fear.
Pat, you've been down there forever. How many of these perpetrators, just as a percentage, are still actively involved? Not in the perpetrating this activity necessarily, but still in positions of power.
I have four children, and I'm a single dad. I drive down in the morning, and I leave at 4:15 and come home every night. In my entire career down there as a lobbyist, I've spent three nights in Springfield. So I leave. I just don't stay down there. So I haven't seen this, all this.
Is this a gossip talk thing? Do people talk since the Me Too thing exploded?
I think so. I think so. And I've been thinking a lot, Pat. I don't know, and Eric, if you have thoughts on this, of like the geographic setup of Springfield. It's like the Capitol is surrounded by a ring of bars. And like, that's just not good for any of this.
Well, it's high school with ashtrays.
Right, right.
Right. Ashtrays and vodka. I mean, it's not a good combination.
What did you just send me from the Globe?
Oh, where everything's off the record. That's the big... From one, I have been in there when you can see how it evolves.
Right. This everybody's is his in bar there, right? In Springfield.
So that's the slogan for the bar?
Yeah.
Everything's off the record.
And this came out just in the last couple of weeks, you know, after was that, all this stuff was
bubbling. Oh, that slogan
up.
Wasn't there before?
No.
Oh, I stayed at the
is
hotel.
That right? That's new?
Yeah. I took a picture and sent it to Carrie last week. Yeah. I'm like, I thought that was a long time slogan. That's new.
Not that I've seen. I could be wrong, but
well, that's bad timing. When we come back, what are you going to bring up? Not just the headlines, but what are you going to bring up?
I'm so glad that you wrote the article, and I want to know
the book.
What's being done now? As far as I know, a lot of the women are afraid, not just of retaliation, but that nothing is going to be done. So I'm wondering if there's going to be a task force or something. Just to hold these people, to hold them accountable.
Mary, before you do the traffic, Know My Place. Carrie Lester, where do we get it?
It's on Amazon.
All right. Well, you might have heard of Amazon. It's a large website. Amazon, Carrie Lester, get two copies. You're careless, you'll lose one. Get three. Hand the third one out to a friend. Carrie Lester's here, along with Eric and Pat, on a regular Thursday politics roundtable. And Carrie, again, nice to have you on the show. Know
nice
My Place is your book.
Yep.
And get it on Amazon, Carrie Lester, or Know My Place. Either search will get it to you. You mentioned Sarah Feigenholz because I want to have Andrea re-ask the question she just brought up. But let me just read the paragraph from the book that jumped out at me and tell me if this does the same for you. In addition to legislation, this is Sarah Feigenholz, in addition to legislation requiring harassment training, we need to figure out how women in Springfield can empower themselves and not just skulk away. I'm tired of bitching about it. That said, there's a fine line between cupcake and bitch.
Exactly.
It's a great line.
If you know Sarah, you can hear her say that.
Yeah. Well, she's a friend of the show, but part of the time she comes in here just to make my head explode. Her point being a fine line between cupcake and bitch. Pick that up.
Right. Well, you know, there. Even with this book, I wanted to strike the right tone between women just complaining about their experiences and women reflecting on how the culture needs to change. So if you go through it, I asked each and every woman as they were recounting their experiences to talk about, you know, can you really change the Capitol culture? Can you really change the City Hall culture and how? And so a lot of their answers were more women at the table, but a lot of it too is, you know, respect from men who are at the table. And I certainly know you guys are respectful, but it's, you know, the guy sitting next to his buddy on the bar stool and saying, dude, that's not how you talk about women.
Yeah,
or, you know, when there is one woman at the boardroom saying, hey, why aren't there more? That's a big part of the equation, too.
Right. And you know what? It was just maddening, too, lately to hear. I mean, you guys, these are some of the best guys I've ever known in my life. Everybody in this room. These guys, you know, men know the difference between, hey, honey, normal talk, that how you'd say, as opposed to threatening or using language to say, you know, here, if you want to advance, you need to do this and whatnot. So my question to you before the break, Harry, was, you know, if there's a police-involved situation and a gun is fired, immediately that officer, an investigation begins. And then sooner rather than later, we'll figure out, okay, this was justified or not justified. So shouldn't there be some sort of a task force like this when a woman makes an allegation, it's investigated, and immediately they don't have to see that person in the office, they don't have to be in direct contact, still pay the man or pay the alleged accuser, until the investigation takes its course. But just to take women out of the situation where they're just filled with fear.
You're talking about common sense right here, and I don't know if there's a lot of this involved. Is there?
No, and there should be those things. I mean, we have some rudimentary progress down in Springfield. There is a new legislation that requires sexual harassment training. I've heard, you know, it varies from office to office. There's also a sexual assault task force that, you know, this was sponsored by Melinda Bush, who's in the book. She's a state senator from Grays Lake, and she's also on the task force. But in hearing about the training and what's happening now, it sounds like most of the lawmakers who are going through this, their big question is, can I get sued? And I'm not sure that is the right approach. I heard this week after the book came out that the Cook County Democratic Party is revising its sexual harassment policy, but you know, it's very rough at this point, and who knows where this will go. But you know, I hope that at the end of the day, this stuff will have teeth, and I'm just not sure it will.
I just don't understand. If not now, when? If you can't fix the policy that didn't exist in Washington and in Springfield now, when are you going to fix it?
Right, and you don't just want to put a Band-Aid on things to feel good, and I think that's kind of the fear, but we'll see.
Well, and I also think it's what Carrie said, is we can have all the rules and laws and enforcement we want, but it has to become behavioral, where it's just unacceptable behavior,
it's personal
and everybody's
character.
Calling it out when it happens so that it's not cool,
right,
and it's not acceptable. But, you know,
I do think, just having been down there the last couple of weeks in meetings with women, particularly young women, the guy talk is cut to zero.
Right.
There's no more. People know that it's being watched.
Did you see this story? Maybe I misread it, but I thought something said about the number of sexual harassment complaints at West Point since Trump became president. Again, not blaming Trump directly, but the culture. There's this irony between the Me Too movement, which is sort of saying zero tolerance for this behavior, but this sort of implicit or explicit, hey, this behavior is okay because look at the president. And you see it in some of these institutions. And so, you know, that stuff has to be called out as well.
It's character. It's character.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that you either do or don't do as a man. And if you engage in this as a man, you're not a man. And you're, what you said before, you have to look at a guy next to you and go, dude, it's not funny. It's not funny. It's not cute. And if you're actually doing that, you know, I'm going to deal with you. You know, and until men do that en masse, a lot of this won't change.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll come back more on this and other things. You're going to hang around with us, right?
Sure.
All right. Carrie Lester's here. No, My Place is the Book. Get it. And we'll come back and get your headlines in just a second.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Stevie Wonder, 743, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Still the best office in America, right here on Michigan Avenue, before Snowmageddon hits. It's all over for us starting at 6 o'clock tonight, till I think 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Somewhere between a quarter inch and an inch of snow an hour for 27 hours. Culminating in basically a foot, somewhere between 6 inches and a foot, overspreading the Chicago area.
Pat Brady thinks less.
Yeah, but look at his hair.
I know.
4 inches, I say. 4 inches, Steve.
Yes. What was that, Eric?
The big one was what, 2011?
Yeah.
2011, we had that. Was it 2010?
2011.
When they ended up with the cars abandoned on Lakeshore Drive?
7 years ago.
Yeah.
So it was 2011.
It's the last time we had this kind of fear. You could hear it. So if you're leaving work at noon today, good for you. At 744, let's talk about this military parade. Worst idea ever, or something he's entitled to do because he's the boss, or somewhere in between, Pat?
I think you told me this morning, Steve, somebody described it as the worst Trumpian. What was it? The worst?
The description I heard that made me laugh was, it's the Trumpiest thing ever.
And that's quite a... The dumbest, one of the dumbest ideas I've heard that he would do this. Remember,
Because
that's not what the military is all about. We don't do shows like the North Koreans or the former Soviets or the Russians do. We just don't do that. It speaks softly, carry a big stiff. We have the strongest military in the world. We don't need to do this. It's just an opportunity for the president to stand there with that Mussolini look and watch all the troops come in front of him and act like he's commander in chief.
I mean, the truth is, Pat's mostly right, but there is precedent.
Does it hurt you when you say that?
What's that?
When you say Pat's mostly right, does it hurt when you say that?
No, no. Because I want him to be completely right. There is precedent. We have had military parades, but they're always in celebration of some major event.
Yeah, winning
military.
A war.
Yeah.
Well, 91 was that.
And World War II.
Exactly. And it was a celebration somewhat for the Vietnam troops that never were recognized.
Right.
It was kind of a combination.
What Pat said is that to do it in celebration of the ego of the president is banana republic or, you know, sort of fascist-like and an outrage. And, you know, it's clear the military doesn't want to do that. They got enough challenges that they're trying to compete with around the world. It's a major...
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because, Kerry, that's the thing that I wasn't aware of. The outcry, the anger, the disgust that came from retired military yesterday, and the general said again and again and again, you have to train for this? You said the cost is obviously a problem, but you have to train for this. You have to spend time. There's resources involved. You said guys don't want to stand in the, you know, and march and learn how to march and remarch and march till you get it right over and over again. You said it's pointless. We don't need a pat on the back.
Right.
That way.
It's a nightmare conceptually. And I just think we need to keep the president's ego in check in every way we can. And this is just a nightmarish display of it.
You know what, though? The juxtaposition of what I watched earlier in the week with Elon Musk shooting that thing into space and then coming down and landing. And Steve and I are the age where this was a big deal when we were kids. I mean, we can do anything. And I wish the president would adopt that approach to his presidency,
right,
more like JFK
approach,
or
yep.
Reagan than this kind of nonsense. To me, that was the Musk, the rocket launch, is one of the coolest things I'd seen in years. Very inspirational.
Yeah, we didn't talk about
it. We can do anything in America versus let's go have a parade and show them our missiles.
The bare minimum, and we know this better than most states, is for the legislature to get together and come up with a budget. There's an agreement in the Senate. It goes to the House. Prediction that the House does anything with it today?
You're talking about federal. We're talking about the
federal.
Congress.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, according to Pelosi, she's not going to put her votes on this unless there's action or promise on DACA and the Dreamers. So it doesn't look to me like this Senate agreement's going to make it through the House. But predicting what happens in Congress these days is a fool's errand. So I don't know.
We've got till midnight tonight. And Pat, if we can get Paul Ryan out of the Witness Protection Program to stand up and say something about this, what's he going to say?
I know. I agree with Eric, though. No one can predict. But there is a good sign this week is that the middle part of Congress, what's left of it, is actually ignoring the president and working to try to get things done. That's what this deal, where this deal came from. And you see the fringes on the other side trying to hold it up. So I think at least that's a good development.
But Kerry Lester, what does he sign? Whatever the last guy in the room tells him to sign?
All right. That's a good question. And I think ultimately it will be watered down from what we think it's going to be and we hope it's going to be. But I agree with Pat that, you know, that there is a sector now that is kind of emboldened. And we're seeing some reach across the aisle moderacy, perhaps, despite Trump. But, hey, I mean, I'll take it any way I can get it.
I think they're ignoring him. But I think they're starting to finally figure it out.
Move past him.
Yeah, when he said we're going to shut the government down.
Right.
And the congresswoman from Northern Virginia has a real tough race that now we're not doing.
Comstock,
Republican,
yeah.
Comstock. Right. I think that's what we've been talking about for a year. They just need to ignore him.
Well, I mean, as a brand, Republicans are in charge of everything. And the perception, whoever's fault it is, doesn't matter. The perception in the country is these guys can't run the railroad. Right. This is a terrible way to run a government. And they all know they're going to pay a price at the midterm elections if they do it this way, continue this way.
Right. And you have to look at how that trickles down to state elections and legislatures across the country, which are Republican-led, and many of them could flip a little bit.
Legitimate news story. Or not, because it's certainly a legitimate issue. Mike Pence is leading the American delegation to the Olympics, and the only, or I should say, the first American athlete to be openly gay in the Winter Games came out and said, not talking to him, mm-hmm. not interested in meeting with him. In 2000, Mike Pence was quoted on his own congressional website talking about funding being set aside to retrain people who would like to change their sexual orientation. This particular athlete said, not interested in it. He has since come back and said he'll talk to him after the games are complete. Mm-hmm. Pence has tried to put a cap on this by talking about it more. Is this a media fire or is this a real story?
I think it's a real story. Look, I'm always conflicted. I think there's something to be said for American citizens honoring the office of president and vice president, but we also have constitutional right to speak our minds and protest when we don't. I mean, it's the same notion of Trump saying it was treasonous for Democrats not to clap for him.
Well, that I agree with.
Yeah, but you know, that's the Constitution, right? And as somebody wrote, it's more treasonous to get a military exemption for bone spurs than not to clap at a speech.
There goes Tammy Duckworth.
Yeah, it was a Duckworth line. It was a great line.
She called him Cadet Bone Spur.
Pence, look, I think the vice president should be, you know, the U.S. government should be represented at the Olympic Games. They're a wonderful coming together. There's actually some good news in North Korea and South Korea actually talking, which is encouraging after all these years. But an athlete certainly has the right to not be present and not speak out and say something they disagree with on the vice president. I respect that.
Remember 1968?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but the thing is, sometimes I feel like the collective we here, and you did this forever, Gary, as a reporter, because of the pattern that's been set by Trump and company, we wait to be outraged, and in the morning we can't wait to be outraged, so now we're outraged. This is a legitimate story, but are we making it bigger than it needs to be with everything else that needs to be talked about?
Right. Vice President Pence tweeting in shades of Trump. He was tweeting last night to Adam Rippon, the figure skater you were talking about, Steve. I want you to know we are for you. Don't let fake news distract you.
Well, it's not fake news.
I'm not quite sure why that has to be in there. I'm proud of you and all of our great athletes.
He mixes up fake with true.
Exactly.
Like he just, right.
Exactly,
just put
yeah.
true in whenever he says fake.
Exactly. Real? True?
True.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Let's come back, talk a little more Springfield. I want to remind you again, Carrie Lester's book is out. When did it come out, by the way?
Just last week.
All right, nice. No, My Place, Reflections on Sexual Harassment in Illinois Government and Politics. It's Carrie Lester, and you remember Carrie from the Associated Press and from the Daily Herald. And didn't you write for your school newspaper?
Yeah. Once upon a time.
What was that called?
The Villanovan.
Oh, the Villanovan. Yeah. Hey, Joe, is my subscription to the Villanovan current, or do we need to update that?
Yeah, we're going to have to update that.
You'll see a really bad headshot with a really short haircut.
Oh, I doubt that. All right, we are here with Carrie Lester, whose book, again, is Know My Place, with Eric Edelstein and with Pat Brady. Eric, thoughts on the latest release of Pritzker audio tape with the former governor? By the way, the one in jail.
Well,
the one still in jail.
It's not good. These tapes came out. The Tribune did a story about him saying, quote, racially insensitive things about the Senate seat, calling Jesse White the least offensive African-American, calling Emil Jones crass. There's been quite an outrage about it. I mean, it sort of reinforces everybody's notion of what white politicians talk about when they don't think people are listening. I think he's going to pay a price for it. You know, they made a huge mistake that when it came out, they did a Trump thing and they attacked the Tribune and said this was fake news and they were colluding. They said Rick Pearson was colluding with the Ronner campaign when Jeff Cohn's written books about this trial. And then they reversed course and Pritzker did the mea culpa apology. He said he wasn't his best self on those tapes and he's tried to be better every day since. But I think obviously we're working for Kennedy, but even without having a dog in this fight, this is a pretty tough blow, and I think he's going to pay a price.
And I can speak from having tried to collude Rick Pearson. He's not a colluder.
Oh, my God. I can tell you
right now. He's the grumpiest colluder I know.
Rick Pearson.
Rick, can I collude you? He's like, no, Brady, get away from
Rick
me.
Rick Pearson doesn't collude with the Chicago Tribune.
He doesn't even have a Chicago Tribune email address.
He doesn't listen to his editor. He does what he wants because he spent his entire career trying to get it right.
But, Eric, I agree with you. I think that when I first read it, I thought, what kind of shelf life does this have? This is a long time ago. This is a decade ago. Does anybody care? But I think the campaign mishandled it, and that's giving us further legs.
Right. The headline of the Sun Times with the stupid look on JB's face, and it said, shove it up your crass, with Emil Jones, who's a legend
right.
in African American and the state for that matter. That coupled with, this is the rich guy that rigged his taxes up on Astor Street for one of his mansions, and this is how he talks about African Americans when they're not listening, and this is a guy that was so stupid he didn't know that Rod Blagojevich might have had a tap.
Well,
should this guy really be governor?
That's the other thing, is what was he doing even calling him about this? He's either doing somebody's bidding or he's just a complete idiot.
It's late in the game too. This is Blagojevich been an investigation for 6 years.
The Emil thing, you're absolutely right, and what he said about Emil was, he's not Senate material. The quote was like, he's not how can I say this? Senate material. He's you know,
he's not one of us.
You know, that's code language.
So, oh, it's Douglas
in the African American community.
So how far will the Preckwinkle endorsement resonate with the African American community?
Well, here's the irony: is Preckwinkle actually endorsed him in October. And so they just rushed to trot this out. Look, the guy's spending $40, $50, $60 million. That goes a long way. But I don't think voters are stupid, and I think that his campaign's in a bit of a panic. They're spending almost $2 million a week now, which is an increase because they see erosion in their poll numbers.
Is that all his money?
Well, it's money that
grandfather's money
wasn't.
No, no,
money.
But I mean, it's not. It's personal money.
It's money that could be paid to the taxpayers of Illinois. But
yeah, it could pay his property tax. But here's the deal: when the Democrats, the same thing they did with, I thought, a flawed candidate in Hillary Clinton, the energy's with the progressives. Hillary Clinton barely won Illinois.
Right.
Bernie Sanders almost won. The energy
was a terrible case.
Is worth with Kennedy and Biss much more so than the establishment. So you ask about what Tony Preckwinkle does. That just reinforces the notion it's a handpicked candidate.
Last question for all of you before we run out of time. The Democrats seem to be screwing up their own party here, and I don't mean party as in politics, in that too many candidates don't necessarily make a good thing. It's the same story nationally. It's a story around the country with statewide races where there's too many candidates in particular races and some are trying to be nudged out. Are there too many candidates running for governor, and will that create a problem?
I slightly disagree. I think that more candidates is better as long as the party doesn't try to influence the outcome. I think that's why you have primaries, so voters get to pick the strongest candidate. I said this before. Obama was a stronger candidate because he went through a tough Senate primary. He was a stronger presidential candidate for the primaries against Hillary. I think Durbin was a better senator because he went through a tough primary with Pat Quinn. I don't think primaries are bad. I think what's bad is when the party tries to put their thumb on the scale and say, here's who voters should pick.
Yeah, and I think that crowded primaries are fine, they're healthy, but look at this. This is all white men in the governor's race. I mean, it's boring. You can't latch on to candidates, and there's a total lack of diversity, and so I think the party needs, both the Democratic and Republican parties need a fundamental reassessment in those areas.
Well, wait a minute. We have angry Jeannie Ives running against the governor, who put out the most racist, homophobic commercial I've ever seen. And today, if you read the Sun-Times and ProPublica, you'll see that John Michael Tillman, the force behind all this rancor and bad behavior, appears they were self-dealing over at the Policy Institute. So a lot of stuff happening today, but a lot of bad politics, I think, on the far right side of the Republican Party, led by the Illinois Policy Institute and those people that I guess are making a lot of money off this.
And doesn't see the offensiveness of the ad, too. That
no,
just
she,
blows
doubled
my
down,
mind.
She doubled down on stupid City Club.
Right,
she
instead was, of saying, you know what?
And then she doubled down.
And then she said, I know what they look like. One came to my door. It's like a raccoon or something. Are you kidding me? It was the dumbest thing and most hateful thing I've ever seen.
Pat, I couldn't believe it either. I thought, did you really just say
he's
that?
He's not kidding. The line was, I know what they look like.
One came to my door.
One came to my door once.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she said that?
She said that.
A lawyer.
On TV.
She said that.
Yeah.
Talking about transgender?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what they look like.
I know what they look
like. One
came
to my door.
Oh, my God. And then she keeps defending it. This is we're right on this. Like, holy cats. This is insane.
I got to reopen Stupid Camp. I really do.
Well, this is the John Michael Tillman, the Illinois Policy Institute, Dick Uihlein, all these guys. I've been saying it for weeks. They're a cancer on the Republican Party.
Carrie, Stupid Camp is, I bought land in the Dakotas where we would take stupid people and just put them in a place and let them run into each other. So,
visit from afar.
I consider your book very important. It's a very important book.
Thanks for reading it, and thanks for having me on.
And I hope people will take time to read it and share it with your family. We all have daughters. And everybody knows somebody they love who has either been victimized by this or could be someday. Know My Place: Reflections on Sexual Harassment in Illinois Government and Politics. Carrie, you're welcome here anytime. It's great to see you again.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on the marriage.
Thanks.
All right, we'll come back. Get the news in just a second. Oh, Pat, Eric, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks as well. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
Live at Channel 9. Good morning, Dean. Hello, Dean.
Are you stalking now?
Holy mackerel. Why is your microphone so low? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
There you are.
One, two, three.
What did you ask me? Ask me a question.
Testing.
I asked you if you were stocking up on bread and milk.
Oh, yeah. I stopped at the general store yesterday and had a talk with Sam over the pickle barrel. And we got a lot of vittles. You know, you need the vittles.
Got to have vittles if we're going to get snowed in.
It's funny. Gersanich and I were, and Dave were saying this morning that people always go for the water, the duct tape. You know, I'm going for the cookies, the pie, the cake.
The nutrition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it with duct tape if you get snowed
right?
in.
Well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Why do people want duct tape?
Of course, I did see the new 50 Ways movie last night. So
50 Shades of Duct Tape?
50 Shades of, right. 50 Shades, not 50 Ways. Although there were about 50 ways in this movie.
John Mahoney news, the Spice Girls news. That's right, the Spice Girls. Nick Carter news. Quincy Jones has lost his damn mind.
Oh, this is the craziest interview ever.
He is saying things now that really shouldn't be said out loud. And I'm remembering Bob Collins.
Calling his name, oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9.
8:22, back to Dean at Channel 9, Bob Collins' anniversary.
Today.
Today.
Believe it or not, 18 years ago. Can you believe that? 18 years ago today. Happened in the afternoon. I'll never forget that day.
It was a beautiful morning, and Bob left the show and apparently said a beautiful day to go flying.
Go for a fly, and the end was tragic. So we began to hear the news, filtering back before it became on the air. We heard about the small plane crash, and then we began to hear behind the scenes that it was Bob. And when it was confirmed, Spike Odell was the one that went on the air and broke the bad news.
Spike knew for how long? 2 hours, was it?
I think it was something like that.
Yeah. And, couldn't reveal it because we didn't know if Bob's wife had even been able to be told at that point. The media the other media in town started to get word of it and started to show up here. And Spike was amazing. I mean, I say it every year. It still remains the most amazing bit of radio I've ever heard, to be able to hold it together and to be able to, out of respect, obvious respect for Bob's wife. By the way, Mary June Rose and Steve Carver, the people who used to run this place, not letting the media in here, including, friends. It was a hot mess for obvious reasons, and everybody was on the best, or performed their best.
Yeah, we all walked around like zombies. I mean, everybody in the office knew, and, we couldn't believe it. Everybody was in a state of shock.
Sure.
I'll never forget that day as long as I live. And the days that followed. But, we have to remember, I try to remember this anytime, we lose somebody, we have to try to remember the things that made us smile about the person that we lost. And I find myself quoting Bob all the time and thinking about things that he did on the air that were so unique and crazy and fun. And
he was one of the greats. He was one of the greats, and he kicked my tail and everybody else's tail for years. Why? Because he was doing a great job every single day. He is a legend, and he should be remembered as such. And he packed an awful lot of life into, 58, 59 years?
Yeah, a very short life, unfortunately. And, I'll say as not just as your friend, but as a colleague, proud that you are carrying the torch the way that Bob would have.
It's high praise. I appreciate that.
I think, nobody emulates that spirit that Bob Collins had with, being fun and silly and ridiculous. But when it's time to be serious, nobody does that like you do.
Well, it's very nice and unnecessary, but thank you. So obviously I thought about that around here today. All right, John Mahoney, what do we know?
There are sources who are saying cause of death for John Mahoney. Apparently he'd been much sicker than most people knew. He was famously private. But sources are saying that he died of brain disease, lung cancer, and seizures.
Oh, God.
Along with battling kidney disease and diabetes.
Ugh, awful.
While he was in hospice care. So,
boy, you talk about the cliche never being more true that he's better now because he's out of pain.
That's a lot to deal with right there.
That's unbelievable.
That's a lot to deal with, poor guy. And really, we're going to be playing back some of the interviews with him on my Sunday show this week. Wasn't that long ago that he was on the show with me. Sounding great.
Yeah.
sounding, you know, just like the John that we always
get real sick real fast.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the second worst transition of the morning. Spice Girls tour coming up.
Wow.
There's only one show that could go from two death stories right to Posh Spice. Sporty. Of everybody on your show, who would be Scary Spice of everybody on the show?
Well, I think everybody'd say me, but I would say Grzanich.
Grzanich?
Yeah, I think Grzanich would be Scary Spice.
And it
would
Sandberg.
Be, and it would Mary. Be Sporty Spice?
Oh, it would be Sandberg. You're right.
It would not, it would you guys. Sandberg. That's a terrible thing to say. No, it would not.
You're exactly right.
She scares all of us sometimes.
Yeah,
not
it's
me.
Sandberg. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Dave Ennett, Sporty Spice?
Definitely Sporty.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Who would
yeah.
be Baby Spice?
Oh, that'd be Grzanich. No, that'd be Grzanich.
No, because he's the youngest.
I just want to get Grzanich on something.
Yeah.
I just find Grzanich would be a Spice Girl. No, Joe would be
Posh?
Baby Spice. Well, there's Sleepy and Doc.
Ginger Spice.
That's you. You're Ginger
Spice. I'd be
Spice.
Ginger?
Yeah.
Ginger Spice.
Is
and
there
Posh.
A Marianne Spice?
There's only four spices,
Skipper
right?
Spice.
One, two,
how many?
Three,
I would
four,
be Posh,
five.
But she's five? Sporty Spice.
Oh, I would be Spash, but Posh, but I don't think she smiles.
Oh, no,
much.
And it would be Posh. You know why she would be Posh? Because she shops like you.
There,
you shop all the time.
Yeah. Okay, there.
Those
yeah,
are
the
Spice
time.
Girls.
And there's a tour?
They may be going back on tour. It's looking very good. They haven't officially announced anything yet, but they all met together. Victoria Beckham had been holding out on this. She didn't want to do it. But a source is saying that because of the Me Too and Time's Up movement, she wants to make a powerful statement about girl power and you know, respecting women. So she's saying that she may get into it again. Oh, there may be a few dollars also.
Yeah, there's a little ka-ching in that.
Being thrown her way.
Man,
also.
Fine. Good for her.
But they're saying the tour will begin in August in England and then head to the U.S. But no exact dates yet.
I remember when I was a little kid, I came home from school one day and my grandmother said, "Boy, your friends are bat-ass crazy," because she said sweet things like that to me all the time. Quincy Jones is 84 years old, and he's lost his damn mind. He's out promoting a Netflix special. What did he say yesterday?
What didn't he say yesterday, and about whom? He talked about Richard Pryor and Marlon Brando having a romantic relationship, romantic and sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. And that story, by the way, has now been confirmed by Richard Pryor's widow,
yep.
who said that he never hid that from his close friends.
But having said that, Quincy didn't need to say that, number one.
He didn't need to say that. He said that he once dated first daughter Ivanka Trump.
12 years ago when he would have been 72 and she would have been, what, 23?
42-year difference between
yeah,
their ages. But he said that she had the best legs he ever saw.
Mm.
Not too creepy.
Mm.
Did not have kind words to say about Donald Trump. He called the Beatles the worst musician in the world.
He said that they were the worst musicians ever.
In the world, ever. Said that Paul McCartney is a terrible bass player and that Ringo Starr...
He didn't have words for Ringo.
He said he didn't have words for Ringo, but he told a story in which Ringo was having trouble during a recording session getting a beat down or, you know, whatever they were trying to do.
Yeah.
Told Ringo to go take a break and then brought in a different drummer to record the track and told Ringo, "You know what? I changed my mind. It sounded fine."
Right.
And used their track that Ringo was not on. Because he didn't like Ringo's playing.
And this, by the way, all follows last week when he was doing some pre-pub for this special, and he talked about having 22 girlfriends,
right.
But it's okay because they all know each other.
Right, yep. And the youngest is 21 or 22.
He also claims that he knows who killed President Kennedy, John F. Kennedy. He says that
it's Giancana.
It's Giancana, from Chicago mobster Frank Giancana, among other things. Talks about different sexual relationships that people have had, that Michael Jackson, he talks about Michael Jackson's obsession with plastic surgery. It's crazy cuckoo. It's a nutty interview.
His daughter, Rashida, is a very well-known actress now, and he's got another daughter that's got a nice career. You think they ever sit him down and go, "Dad, just shut the hell up."
Right. Just sit there. Don't talk.
85 years old, you can be quiet now.
Just sit amidst your money.
Yeah, just count your money.
Those are cool stories. Tell your friends.
Don't talk.
Why can't you just say, "Pull my finger," like everyone else's grandpa?
All right, my friend. Thank you.
See ya.
That's Dade. We're back with the headlines with Andrea in just a moment.
Flyers looking to respond.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk. Sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Yeah, da, 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 da. And then there were three. Brian Campbell is just three more kids away from a hockey team. He's getting closer. Soup joins us now. I haven't talked to you since the baby. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, everything's been not bad. It's been pretty good. He's been pretty good and sleeping all right, but it's definitely a little bit more added to the family here, a little bit more work at it, but it's a good thing.
You know what people say about three? Now you're outnumbered. You got to play a zone now.
Yeah, and the two girls, they get a little too excited with the baby, so you definitely have to be cautious of them.
So you got yourself a boy to go with the two girls. God bless, man. That's a great thing.
Yeah, we've been obviously very lucky, and a lot of it obviously goes to my wife, who's been great and getting up at night a lot. So it's
yeah, I mean, come on, let's be honest.
A lot of fun.
How much are you chipping in? Huh? I mean, really?
I do quite a bit, Steve.
Do you find that a baby three, the diapers are no big deal now?
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely you get used to it a little bit, but sure. It's a little bit different than the girls. You get sprayed the odd time, so that's
well, you know, you
a little bit more to look out for.
Well, you know, you have the shield diaper as well. It's always a two diaper change because you hold one as the shield.
Yeah, we didn't learn that lesson early enough, but we kind of got it down pat now.
Well, I think it's a very cool thing. All right, let's talk about this hockey team. We are not used to the Blackhawks struggling. And in this 10-year run, as they were, you know, when you came over, they were just starting to get good. And you rode the good all the way through that 2010 Cup, came back last year. You guys had a great year. In the regular season, get to that Nashville series, and went 0-for, and very busy summer last year, and all expectations were they're going to come out of the gate screaming. Did 10-1 in the opener. Sauter has a hat trick, and honestly, since that first week, it's been win two, lose two, win one, lose two, win two, lose one. They've just never been able to get it going. What do you make of it?
Yeah, definitely been inconsistent throughout the season, and you know, I think they had a good stretch, I want to say, in December, where they maybe won five in a row. And other than that, it has been like that throughout the entire season. So, you know, there's different things that you can look at, I think, with the hockey club. I think Joel mentioned it yesterday. I think, you know, nobody's had a great year. I think everybody can improve on their year. And when you have that with a hockey club, and, you know, you may look at Alex DeBrincat and say he's had a great year with 19 goals and maybe a few other guys, but there's not a whole lot. Usually on your team you can say, okay, yeah, he's had another solid, great year, and I think it's been a little bit, you know, disappointing that way with the hockey club. And obviously that tends to happen. I think you look at Corey being out for probably over 20 games now is never easy, and I don't think any team in the league would have too much success when that happens to their hockey club. So, but there is still hope, and I think you know, obviously it's going to start again tonight playing Dallas to get on a run. So, you know, there's been a few little things. You know, I think the power plays hurt them a little bit, obviously, this year. We all know that as fans, and you know, so those things, and it's such a fine line of winning and losing in this league.
I'm glad you brought up DeBrincat, but I wanted to ask you about him because the talk going into the season was he's not real big, and can he make that leap to the National Hockey League? And you look at what he's done. He's, I'm sure, going to be in conversation at least for the Calder Trophy, even if he doesn't win it. What's the upside for him, Brian? How much of a step can this guy take from where he is now?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I actually saw him play at rookie camp this year, and he was obviously dominant at rookie camp and one of the best players with all, I think there was eight teams there on the ice. He was probably, you know, top five maybe, or even the best player on the ice. For me, it's unbelievable. You know, he's going to have a chance maybe of 30 goals. He's going to definitely look at 25 for a guy that's undersized. But if you watch him play, and I think it's important, especially you can definitely see it when you watch him live for fans to see, is how his head is always up. He never looks down at the puck. And it's, you know, you can't, you know, that's kind of like a gift that he has. And I'm sure he's had to work on throughout his career, because being a smaller guy and a star player, people are always trying to come after you, and therefore you definitely need to have your head up. So it allows him to see his teammates and his line mates so much. And then the other factor with him is he doesn't have the hardest shot in the world, but it's amazing how quick he never stick handles or waste time with the puck. It's always on a stick and right off as quickly as possible. It doesn't allow the goalies to set up. So very, very intelligent hockey player. And I think for anybody on that team, I said this the other day, that I would love to be able to play with him. I think any forward out there would want to be on the ice with him or be his line mate, because I think he makes you a better player. So you know, I think there's a lot of bright and upside to him, and good for him to come in here and you know, me maybe even being pegged to go down to Rockford and then playing here the whole year and going to put up over 20 goals. It's you know, it's a lot of hard work, I'm sure, that he's put into it. So it's definitely a very, very bright spot for this hockey club.
Do you notice any change in swagger, in confidence, in belief in team with the older guys?
Well, I think anytime things aren't going well, you're not going to have as much confidence and swagger to your game. You know, I think we've always known the Blackhawks could be down, you know, 5-1 with 30 seconds to go, and somehow, some way, they won, sure, the game. So, and those things kind of haven't happened as much or very little this season. So, you know, anytime that happens, it's, you know, you don't have that same, you know, when you know you can go out there and dominate and beat teams, and they have dominated teams, and they have beat teams this year, and it's been, you know, that's what we're talking about, the ups and downs. There's some nights where I'm like, wow, I like this team a lot, and then you go into another night and you're like, holy, what happened tonight? So but I think there's a lot of that definitely affects your swagger a little bit, and that's what they've had so much success with over the years.
Is there a way for other teams to figure out a team they haven't figured out before? I mean, it makes no sense to me as a hockey fan and somebody that thinks they know a little bit about the game, that like a pitcher who you didn't know the first time, the second time he came up, you knew his stuff, or a hitter in reverse for the pitcher's mound. It doesn't make any sense that suddenly the Blackhawks are figured out by the rest of the league, does it?
Well, I don't think they're figured out. I think it's just, you know, some nights you're, you know, I think other teams, you know, it's a young person's league now, and teams are getting better and better. And you know, you look at what the Hawks have done, they've gotten younger and stuff. So I don't think it's anything figured out. I think it's just, you know, the game that the Hawks have played over the years of a fast puck-moving, puck-possession game, more and more teams are playing that now, too. So maybe it's kind of like it's always been a copycat league that way, and now other teams are playing more of that style and as well. So not saying the Hawks aren't good at that style, is, you know, with their record, but it's just, you know, that's what teams are kind of evolving to, and you know, playing that more up-tempo game. So I don't think it's necessary. I don't think you ever figure teams out. You just maybe copy the way that they're playing, and you know, maybe they're having a little bit more success. You know, other teams, you know, starting to have success playing that way.
You just feel like any night they're going to break out and keep it going. You know, wouldn't this be the ultimate? Because what Soup was talking about, the team we saw come back and beat Anaheim in the last minute, mm-hmm. The team we saw come back in 17 seconds and get it done. Wouldn't it be something if right now it starts and you got 29 to go and you win 23 out of 29 or whatever the crazy number could end up being? You know, there's no reason not to believe that's possible, because we've seen what they've done for 10 years.
Yeah, I don't think I ever, I would ever, until they're eliminated permanently, I wouldn't count them out. You know, I think you look at the hockey club, and it was kind of like that with Nashville last year. You know, we our team last year was kind of we rested guys at the end. We were trying to stay healthy and fresh going into the playoffs, and then all of a sudden we're just like, you know, and give a lot of credit to Nashville. They do go to the Stanley Cup final, but they came at us so hard. And then you look at Nashville, and they're a team that had to win down the stretch to get into the playoffs. So if the Hawks can get into that mode where, you know, obviously they're going to have to win, it could be something that really elevates them into the playoffs if they are able to get in. But, you know, obviously they do have to start collecting and putting a string of wins together for that to happen. But I definitely wouldn't count them out.
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that last year, Winnipeg, Dallas, and Colorado, three of the Blackhawks' division rivals, all missed the playoffs. Right now, they're all very much in the picture. Winnipeg's in first place. Dallas is holding that first wild card spot. Brian, how much Olympic hockey are you going to watch, and what would you like to see fans look for in the games over in South Korea?
I probably won't watch a whole lot of hockey. I enjoy the other sports. And
what do you got, a three-week-old?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'll be watching, but it's not what I want to see. It's not the, you know, if it was the NHL players, I'd definitely be watching. But I prefer to spend more of my time watching the other sports. So, you know, I think that's what I'll be looking at. You know, there are a few players on the U.S. team that have played in the league in Canada, but I'm much more interested in watching bobsledding and figure skating and everything that goes with that.
Here's the deal with the MB Financial Bank, Breakfast of the Blackhawk, sponsors this segment. We always get a question from a listener. Dennis Ellerbach from Iowa writes, how often do players sharpen their skates?
You know what? We're so spoiled that our training staff they just do it and you don't even know about it. But I think they look at every skate, you know, before a game, and if they want them, it depends on the player. You know, I know they sharpen my skates, I think, in the morning before morning skate, so they were all ready to go, and I didn't have to worry about it. So they always go through, check it for nicks. I think if you were just playing casual hockey, you know, I definitely wouldn't be getting my skate sharpened that much, but it's so important, obviously. So I think every game they have it, they sharpen them and make sure they're done. And then now, the biggest thing with them now is they have, you can interchange your blades. You don't have to take your whole boot off and put new blades on. So now on the bench, if you have a little nicked up skate, they can just take out your steel and put new steel in.
How about that?
And you don't miss a shift. You don't miss anything. So now it's kind of nice. Or if you know, I'm sure some guys, if your steel's a little too sharp, you know, the trainers will have a backup pair that aren't as sharp. Then you just flip them in, and they just press them into your blade.
Why don't these guys go ahead and skate for you? You're not doing anything.
Yeah, so exactly right. Some of these trainers are so, and the Blackhawks have the best in the business, and they're ones that they're taping guys sticks. It's almost. I never got that done, but I don't think Kaner has to lift a finger. He just has to get his gear on. Maybe they do that for him now, too. I'm not quite sure.
And do his hair. You know, let's be honest. Listen, pal, I couldn't be more thrilled for your family. What's the little guy's name?
Cole.
And is Cole, are you? Right. I was just going to say, we thought we heard Cole.
Yeah, I'm holding him right now. He's on a little nap right now. So what a life, little morning nap.
Well, you're a lucky guy, and tell Cole he was on the Steve Cochran Show. It's a good break for a three-week-old.
Right.
All right, Hawks, let's get one tonight. Thank you, Campbell.
All right.
Brian, soup.
Thanks, Steve.
See you later, man. Remember when Wendy came in a few days ago and wondered if I had a stroke?
I know.
Yeah, me too.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy.
Talked to Judge Judy the other day. It's all available to you on podcasts. Let's go live to Joe now in the podcast headquarters of the Steve Cochran Show and Greater WGN Podcastery. Joe, where do we hear the podcast?
That would be at WGNRadio.com.
Joe, if I'm on TuneIn, could I hear a podcast?
You sure can.
What about iHeart?
Yes, indeed.
What about that whole Apple thing that's never going to catch on?
Let me check. Yeah, yeah. Yep, okay. We got them there, too.
So the point is, wherever podcasts are, but why not just go to WGNRadio.com and make your life easy? And as I said, you can get the entire Judge Judy interview there. But you want a clip? Want me to play a clip? Because you were in the interview.
I know. She was great.
All right. Here's a clip from Andre and I talking to Judge Judy when we brought up, come on. You know what the cases are, right?
I get a complaint and an answer, just as you would have if you were sitting in a court. It's very brief, one page.
Okay.
And it outlines, the plaintiff and the defendant tell their story. So I have some idea of whether or not it's about a sick puppy, or it's about overdue rent, or a false restraining order, or a defamation case, and generally outlined what their position is. That's the way I've been working for the last, 40 years.
So right.
You get a complaint right. And an answer. So to answer your question is, do I do blue cards that interpret what the case is about by producers? The answer is no. That's the way the People's Court worked for a very long time, and it was the only template that our producers had back then, 23 years ago.
Sure.
But I said, that's not the way I work. I have to have a sworn deposition from both parties so that I can work off.
I want to make sure we mention this. You got a Facebook contest going on now. Andrea, this would be good for your high school.
Send me a 200. Yes. If you're in high school and you think your high school is unique and special and has given you a wonderful experience, tell me why in 250 words or less. And the winner of this Facebook contest is going to have the joy, if they want it, of my coming to speak to their graduating class.
That? Oh, that's cool.
How about that?
I'm going to tell my old high school to apply.
I love that.
That's awesome.
It would be fun. Anyway, it was nice to chat with you.
Thanks, Judge.
You guys be well. And don't forget, it's Channel 2 weekdays, 4 to 5, Judge Judy. And I hope you're investing your money well, Judge Judy. You know, I don't want you to worry.
Believe me, I'm a conservative girl. I'm very conservative.
All the best. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
Bye, Judge.
She makes about $20 to $25 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I would guess as a sitting judge in the boroughs, maybe high end, 100?
Yeah.
100 grand, maybe?
Yeah, she's doing well.
Yeah, it worked out okay.
Well. I love how
she's very self-deprecating. She wasn't, you know, it's like Simon Cowell. Interview Simon Cowell, he's a pussycat.
Uh-huh.
But she was self-deprecating. She was talking about all the weasels in her family that ask her for money.
Yeah.
But you can go to WGNRadio.com or the WGN Radio app, and you can get the podcast.
And we asked her about when people lip off or mouth off to her in the courtroom and her mm-hmm. response to that. Mm-hmm. Very funny.
Yeah.
Check it out.
It's good.
My husband listens or watches her every day. It's hilarious.
What is it? I mean, it's addictive,
right? He loves her.
She's great. She just doesn't put up with any
crap. He just loves when she just gives people heck and
you remember where it
kicks
started?
Them out.
People's Court with Judge Wapner.
Oh,
that's right. Wapner.
My father watched the Wapner mm-hmm. before he had died, you know, because that was back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my father said, what channel is that day in court on? Is that day in court? What channel is that day in court on? Never quite got the People's Court part down. But without Judge Wapner, you don't get a Judge Judy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right, shifting gears. Today, Punchki Day.
It's
we have 50,000 Punchkis that are delivered here. Thank you for that. Who did you thank the folks earlier?
Yeah, we thanked them earlier. And we have to thank Sophia, our friend who comes in.
Did Sophia make those?
Sophia gets those from her very special Polish bakery.
Oh, gotta go.
And she brought the chocolate ones in for you.
Why would she spend money on us?
Because she likes us.
Oh, she's delightful.
Yeah, she likes
Sophia.
Us.
She wants to see us bouncing off the walls.
Yeah, that's it. Sophia takes care of cleaning this place up, and she's great. But on Punchki Day, I bet you're all thinking, Steve, yes? When will a vegetarian chain open in Chicago that I can go to regularly? Dave? Chicago's first Veggie Grill, the country's largest 100% vegetarian chain, will open on February 15th in Lakeview.
Oh.
It's not far from where your son is.
Well, he's in Lincoln Square, but yeah, that's not far.
You can get there from Lakeview.
I think you can get there. Yeah. I'm not a vegetarian, Steve. I just want to make that clear.
But you love it. You love the vegetables.
You do.
I like vegetables.
The chain's arrival has been fiercely followed by vegetarians and vegans. The opening marks the first of at least five veggie grills planned for Chicago. They're also signed leases for the Loop and the West Loop. The location specifically, 614 West Diversey Parkway. It's right on the border of Lakeview and Lincoln Park. It's the 29th location for the chain, so it's working out all right for them. I used to feel that a great test of the drive-through and the drive-through concept as to whether or not it's the food or the fact you don't want to get out of your car, just open a cauliflower restaurant and see if anybody actually goes to the drive-through.
I like cauliflower.
Of course you do.
I like it with a ton of cheese on it.
Well, that's not the way you do it.
I like it grilled.
I think if you grill it and you douse it in soy sauce and then put a little more salt on it.
And then cheese it,
I think then it's edible.
I agree. Cauliflower is just not the tastiest.
I like to dip it in the ranch. It's good.
I bet that shows up on Nick's Out of Context.
Yeah. Yep.
Still work to be done at the Veggie Grill's first Chicago location, but it's coming soon. Chain operates in California, Oregon, Washington, and keep an eye on your local vegetarian outlets to know where your local vegetarian sources to know what's coming next. I was kind of looking for a menu here to see which stuff I wouldn't eat.
You're into veggie burgers now.
Yeah.
See, check that out. There's a quinoa burger.
The Lucky Star Burger, the Grilled Quinoa and Veg Burger, the Super Rica Burger. Let's see, a Butternut Velvet Soup, which was my name when I danced. what is Southern Spicy? Scroll down just a little. Okay. Southern Spicy Fried Chicken. Fried chicken? How is fried chicken vegetarian?
I don't know. Maybe it's not a chicken. Like a chicken? What do they call it? Like a tofurkin?
A chicken?
Turducken.
Turducken? So, but this maybe is like a chuchuckin. I got to be careful. Sorry.
Very disturbing. VeggieGrill.com if you feel the need.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
100 years with Bob Collins on the day he passed away. We're going to get that in before 10 o'clock right at the end of the show today. We had an on-air show meeting right at the top of the show today, trying to figure out who is going to make it here tomorrow for the show in the midst of the blizzard of 2018. The forecast has only gotten a little more dicey, and Tim McGill will join us in a few minutes and give us the specifics. I believe Tim is already on the run. I believe he's going into some sort of hiding. He said he was staying in the city with his daughter, and yet he ran out of Channel 9 30 minutes ago.
He's hibernating already.
And we were able to catch him on the phone, so we'll talk to him in a few minutes. But the forecast, in case you missed it, kids, snow, and more snow. Snow accumulation starting tonight, 3 to 5 inches by midnight, 6 to 10 before it's all over. And in some places, you could get as much as a foot. Winds will be 5 to 10 miles an hour, which will help. So, again, you live close to the station.
Yeah, again, you guys can all stay by me. I'm sorry you guys all didn't want to do that.
Well,
you might have to go get her, though, because I don't think her car is
No, you can't drive your car.
You're right.
You can't drive your car in that snow.
Can I borrow your car?
The 6 to 10 inches of snow are taller than her car.
That is true.
Yes.
Your car is very short.
Your car, I know.
That's a great point. You can't get here.
Why don't you pick me up on the way in?
I'll swing by.
Oh, okay, boy.
Okay. I'll see you guys.
I'll be here.
We'll see you at some point.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Tune in for the Dave and Mary show tomorrow. Yeah.
All right. What time do you normally leave?
Me?
Yeah. The guy I'm looking at. Yes, you.
About 4 o'clock.
So what time are you planning on leaving tomorrow?
About 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
No, I mean, I'm going to leave probably 3. Leave my house?
Yeah, I'm going to allow an hour. My husband will come home from the Blackhawk game tonight around midnight.
And he doesn't care that you sleep. He'll wake you up anyway.
Yes, he will. But I'll have him give me an update at that point. What's the snow and roads looking like then? So I'll know if I'm pulling the trigger on the earlier alarm or the later alarm. And as I told you, I am not parking in our parking lot because I'm more concerned about leaving. I want to be able to leave here.
I understand what you're talking about. Because your car, you'll be able to get out of the snow.
How do you know
who's going to
be manning that? Oh, you know that 6 inches of snow over our cars, and I'm more concerned about the other people parking. And I don't trust any of you guys.
Or the plow can plow you.
Wait a minute, I park next to you.
That's happened to me before.
Well, I know, but like it's already tight with no snow. So if there's a bunch of snow, I'm not getting back plowed into my spot. I want to be able to leave here. I'm going to park in an enclosed garage.
That's not a bad idea.
No, good for you, but I'm just saying it's not going to be a problem.
You drive a giant white lightning, so you could just drive right over all of us.
Yes, but your car is suitable for snow.
I don't even want to. I'm not taking a chance because it's Friday, and I'm not going to spend any extra.
Well, but that's part of the reason. That's the other thing. Nobody's going to be in a lot tomorrow. Nobody's coming to work other than us.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, why am I doing traffic when no one's going to be driving around except
us? You got to talk about how horrific it is.
Tomorrow's like your Super Bowl.
Yeah but like nobody's going to drive. They're going to cancel school. Nobody's going to go to work.
I'm going
to
Uber.
Uber?
Yeah, I think I'm going.
The rate will be, it'll be a surcharge.
I know.
It's going
to
be.
Do you have to ask for like?
Steve, can I borrow $100?
Sure, whatever you need.
Thank you.
Do you have to ask for Uber truck? Uber four wheel?
Uber like six times black car? Yeah.
So, what about you, Steve Grzanich? Because Steve lives how close to the station?
Pretty close.
Like 15 minutes normally?
Uptown,
is that about right? Yeah. Oh, he didn't even have his headphones on. He doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, it's Bertrand. Now he's walking away from you.
That's it.
He didn't talk
to you. I thought it was Grzanich. How did I confuse Grzanich and Bertrand? They're different people.
The lighting in that camera. I think Steve is going to come in earlier, he said.
Yeah, and how big is his dog? Could he ride his dog in?
He could ride his dog.
His dog is pretty big.
Yeah, so Murrow could take him in.
All right. So, and Joe, you're just going to stay? You're not going home today?
Yeah, I never do. This is my home.
I do have two pairs of snowshoes at the house. The kids got them for Christmas last year from my parents.
Ever walked in snowshoes?
Uh-huh.
They're kind of cool.
It's a great workout, but weight limit on the ones we bought is like 120.
What do you mean weight limit? I didn't know they came with weight limits.
The sizes, they were like junior size or whatever, so... Hmm. I don't know what happens if somebody that weighs more uses them, but I could bring them if anyone under 120 wants to use them.
They're very difficult to walk.
I have my own. Dave, otherwise, I take you up on that.
How about it's a good workout.
Cross-country skis will work, too.
Cross-country skis would work.
Though.
I will be on the Eisenhower in cross-country skis.
Cross-country skis, that's another great workout.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's difficult to cross-country
skis. Thigh burners. All right, but we are essential personnel, so we'll be here.
Yeah, we will be here.
Either that or I'll do the show from my house. But you guys will be here.
Yeah, we'll see you in our minds.
But it's going to be ugly. And normally I mock these things because they're mockable. Yes. But this one looks like the real deal.
Yeah.
And Tim will tell us more coming up. Dave, provided we live through the storm, the fight for air climb's coming up, and you should try to get more people on your team. So what's the plug?
The plug is to go to fightforairclimb.org and join the WGN radio team, which some of us refer to as Edit to Win It, but there's Edit also a Patty Vasquez team, and that's fine. She can have her own team if she wants. But
the trash talking's underway.
No, it's not.
It's vicious.
They're afraid of us, Dave.
Sunday, March 11th, the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb, sponsored by United Healthcare at Presidential Towers. Climb one tower or all four. Do you know how many steps are in the all four towers?
Well, I know if you climb all four, it's 180 stories, and it's like 2,340.
It's like eight steps
very
a
good.
Landing.
Thank you. 2,340 steps.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
very nice, Dave.
You count every one of them when you're climbing.
Two.
Have you ever run a marathon?
I never have, no.
Okay, but you know the whole hit the wall thing?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hit the wall like in Tower 3? Because the thing I don't understand about doing this is when I used to run, and yes, I did, stop giggling. When I used to run, I ran all the time. And if I was doing a longer run, 5, 6, 7 miles, if you stopped, your legs would go, okay, we're done now?
Right.
You know, and then they didn't want to get started again.
Wait, did you run on a track or were you like running away
from
running. Something? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Road running.
Okay.
When I played.
Well, yeah. Sure.
So that was the problem. So the point being, you climb one of these towers, you stop, you take the elevator back down, you go to the next tower. Mm-hmm. I would think your legs would go, no, we're done.
No, I haven't really found that to be the case. Now, I have found in the third tower, stopping on a landing, say, every 10 floors or so, just for a quick catch, regulate your breathing, get going again.
Right.
I've done that a few times, but... Yeah, it's not, it's really, if you pace yourself, Mary and I walked together the first year I did it, starting out, and there were other people with us, and I was going too quickly. That's the key. Don't start out like, hey, this is easy. Let's go.
Yeah,
sure.
Dave
these
was
steps.
Hauling.
Yeah, I'm and like, that was a mistake.
Right. But I did that the next year, Dave, and then you stopped me because I was like,
you know,
dying.
How everyone wears their earbuds instead of just like socializing and talking. I mean, I'd be talking with people and saying,
well,
hey,
you're not
and,
really.
But you just put
it's
your
hard to talk
on.
When you can't breathe.
Well, hey,
sometimes
it is a little hard to talk, and also they tend to stagger people, so you're not. Next to somebody.
And people tend to stagger.
Oh, right.
Yes,
yeah,
and
exactly.
You're staggering. Yes. So.
Exactly.
It's fightforairclimb.org. Fightforairclimb.org. And good for Mary and Dave for doing this.
And good for us because we're going to write checks.
Exactly.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
9:33 and headlines next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Little tease for you. Bob Collins. Might make you cry, might make you smile. On the anniversary of Bob's passing, an awful, awful, awful day. At 9:46, Tim McGill is with us, and Tim is trying to run from the storm now. He left Channel 9 a few minutes ago in a car. He's hoping to get to the Bahamas by driving.
I'm halfway there.
Has anything changed since we talked at 6 by way of the models and your expectations of when this will start and how much we get?
Well, you know what? You asked me that before. When will we have a firmer grasp on this? And, of course, the answer is always the closer you get to the event. But I told you we get another round of models in here around 6 o'clock tonight. Well, I forgot we had another round coming around 7, 8 o'clock this morning. Not completely in all the way, but I was looking at some of the data. And a couple of the models are shifting the band of heavier snow, which is going to be kind of narrow where we get that heavier snow. A little further north now. Yesterday, this shift was to the south. Now it's a little bit further north, up towards parts of Lake and McHenry County. So not 100% confident where that's going to end up, but we are pretty confident that we're going to get about 6 to 10 inches area-wide. It's just going to be a spot on about a 50-mile band that you could see upwards of 10 inches to a foot or more, potentially. And again, most of this is going to come overnight tonight into tomorrow. As far as the onset, about 5 or 6 o'clock across the western suburbs. Still thinking about 7, 8 in the city. But it's going to initially start off pretty light. It'll get heavier after the evening rush. That's the good news.
The thing that I think people need to get and keep in mind, even if you can get to work in the morning, if your mean boss wants you to come to work, it's getting home because the turnaround commute for everybody is going to be really difficult.
Yeah, and it's because it's going to be one of these long-duration events. It's not like it's going to all be out of here by 9 or 10 o'clock tomorrow morning and the plow can get out and clear the roads. It's going to be pretty steady snow, it looks like. Starting late tonight, through the morning rush hour, through much of the afternoon tomorrow. That's the indication right now. So you're not going to catch a break and be able to really clear the road, so they don't have to work on this all day long. So you're good point there. It's not going to be any really good opportune times to leave tomorrow because it's going to be kind of messy all day long.
See, I live mostly in my double wide in East St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Boy, it's going to take me forever to get back there.
Boy, no kidding.
It's
going to
be tough. Going to be tough. If anybody wants to stay with Tim, he's staying at his daughter's tonight, and he said everyone's welcome. Cool. Any of you listeners or viewers.
Yeah. Excellent. Peace is on me. So.
All right. Thanks, my friend. We appreciate the update.
All right. Good luck. Take care.
See you later. There wasn't a lot in that good luck.
No, I know.
It was a good luck.
It was kind of like, yeah, good luck.
Kind of like one of these good lucks.
Number one.
On CLTV at 720 WGN, a break, and we're back after this. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. Bob Collins died on this day. And each year at this time, it's a sad day, a reflective day. But as we said earlier, he packed an awful lot of life into his 58 or 59 years. You know, I'm a spiritual guy. And when stuff like this happens, you get a little goosebumpy when you think that he did this poem you're about to hear, in case you haven't heard it, and if you've heard it before, I know you want to hear it again, on his last day, on his last show, obviously not knowing it was his last show, and the last thing in the last show. It's 100 years, the song you'll recognize, and you'll recognize Bob Collins' voice. This is the last thing he did on WGN, and, well, I hope you enjoy it, or I hope you've... I hope you'll have something from this moment as we remember Bob.
Some things I have learned as I age. Age 6. I've learned that I like my teacher because she cries when we sing Silent Night. Age 7. I've learned that you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Age 9. I've learned that when I wave to people in the country, they stop what they're doing and wave back. Age 13, I've learned that just when I get my room the way I want it, Mom makes me clean it up. Age 14, I've learned that if you want to cheer yourself up, you should try cheering somebody else up. Age 15, I've learned that although it's hard to admit, I secretly am glad my parents are strict with me. Age 24, I've learned that silent company is often more healing than words or advice. Age 26, I've learned that brushing my child's hair is one of life's great pleasures.
When you only got 100 years to live.
Age 29, I've learned that wherever I go, the world's worst drivers follow me there. Age 39, I've learned that if somebody says something unkind about me, I must live so that no one will believe it. Age 41, I've learned that there are people who love you dearly but just don't know how to say it. Age 44, I've learned that you can make somebody's day simply by sending them a little card. Age 46, I've learned that the greater a person's sense of guilt, the greater his need to cast blame on others. Age 47, I've learned that children and grandparents are natural allies. Age 49, I've learned that singing Amazing Grace can lift my spirit for hours. Age 50, I've learned that the motel mattresses are better on the side away from the phone. Age 51, I've learned that you can tell a lot about a man by the way he handles these three things: a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. Age 52, I've learned that keeping a vegetable garden is worth a whole medicine cabinet full of pills. Age 53, I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you miss them terribly after they die.
When you only got 100 years to live, half the time goes by. Suddenly you're wise, you know the blink of an eye. 67 is gone, the sun is getting high. We're moving on.
Age 58, I've learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. Age 61, I've learned that if you want to do something positive for your children, try improving your marriage. Age 62, I've learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. Age 64, I've learned that if you pursue happiness, it will elude you. But if you focus on your family, the needs of others, your work, and meeting new people, and doing the very best you can, happiness will in fact find you. Age 66, I've learned that whenever I decide something with kindness, I almost always make the right decision. Age 72, I've learned that everybody can use a prayer. Age 73, I've learned to believe in miracles. And to tell you the truth, I've seen a few. Age 82, I've learned that even if I have pains, I don't have to be one. Age 85, I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love the human touch. Holding hands, a warm hug, or a friendly pat on the back, it's all wonderful.
Never a wish better than this. When you only got 100 years to live.
At age 92, I've learned that I still have a lot to learn.
Bob Collins, the last thing he did on WGN. I don't know what you say. There are no words, and sometimes that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Bill and Wendy are here. What are your plans for the storm? I'm very worried about you two.
We're going to ride it through, I think, right? Did you want to do more than that?
Well, it's not going to happen until after we're off the air. We'll be okay.
It's the pre-storm, I think, that's harder than the storm itself.
It's a lot like a colonoscopy. The prep is the worst.
The prep is the worst part. Drink this liquid, and then you'll get to the snowstorm.
I am getting a little anxious. So, yeah, I'm going to try and make it here tomorrow. And if I'm going to hit the road, I'm going to leave a little early. And if it's bad, I'm going to turn around and cry.
See, my concern is not getting here, because we're all vital personnel. My concern is getting back to from where I came, because tomorrow during the day, there will be more cars on the road. Some of them will be on the road. Some will be off the road.
Yeah. Some being dishes.
And since it's going to snow all day, the commute's going to be horrendous.
Yeah.
So. And Dave is going to try to. This is the funniest thing I've heard all day. Dave thinks he's flying to Baltimore tomorrow at noon.
No, the team is going. Northwestern's going noon tomorrow, so I'll leave here tomorrow
going
morning.
To the airport.
I drive from here to Evanston. Go with the team on the bus from Evanston to O'Hare.
Does the plane have snow tires?
Evidently.
Yeah.
And they usually de-ice.
I don't even think the bus is going to go. You guys are just going to be on the bus all weekend.
You're not going to be plowed out of the parking lot behind this building.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for all the encouragement.
Sandberg
has a great idea.
That idea is great. She's going to park in an indoor garage so the snow doesn't...
And then expense it, Mary.
Good idea.
Right? Didn't you clean off my car 1 year?
Yeah, a couple times.
That's what I thought. Dave was trying to take credit for that.
Did you do it too? I might have.
All right.
Oh,
Dave and I would take turns.
I was thanking
cleaning
you
off your
earlier.
Car.
Hey, I just wanted you to know I never have.
Oh.
Will you tomorrow?
Your car, sure.
Will you tomorrow?
But your car, the snow sick. Goes on a slide. Your car is like the little snow that collects
on there. Ass is my car.
You could just blow on it, and then it starts an avalanche.
It's like a cleaner car. It's like a bubble.
Oh, thanks, you guys.
See you tomorrow.
Good luck.
I hope.
Maybe. Godspeed. Yes, it's white lightning.
White lightning.
All right, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.